Life Audio.
Today on Talk About That, John shouts at the clouds about the return of a certain hairstyle and tries to come up with photo shoot poses that aren't awkward. Meanwhile, I accidentally steal someone else's luggage on a road trip and tell the story of the world's foremost school for department store Santas. Plus a conversation about honor culture and the fine line between healthy and toxic when it comes to memorializing flawed people. Today's episode is not sponsored by the snooze button. It's the best sleep you'll ever have right before you lose your job. But first, a word from our actual sponsor.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
Coming at you live, hitting us with your best shot, Johnny. Let's talk about that.
Fire away. You know, she doesn't sing that anymore, or she stopped for a time.
I wonder why.
I think she said it had something to do with the gun violence.
Yeah.
She was making a stand. I was like, the song's clearly not, it just means like, take your best shot at a relationship with me.
Yeah, I think it's a positive.
I think it's a little bit of an overcorrection for somebody to be like, I don't want any shooting references in my songs, when it's clearly not about shooting.
Right. And you're pretty non-gun friendly.
I'm not non. What does that mean? Johnny, you're a pacifist woke jerk.
You know, I mean, I'm just saying.
No, I didn't grow up around guns, and guns make me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But Pat Benatar doesn't make me uncomfortable.
Okay.
I don't think Hell is for Children. That's one of her songs.
Wow.
It's about child abuse. It's a weird title for a song, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That's a dark.
I'm over here theologically
like
processing.
Like, that's not the one that she stopped doing. She's like, you know what I'm going to keep doing? Hell is for Children. But I'm going to.
I literally, like, the theological hamster in my head just started.
Well, it's just the whole idea that, like, when you are being abused as a child, it screws your mind up. And so that's the whole thing. Anyway. I mean, it reminded me, though, I used to do these, these hashtags would trend on Twitter, and it would be like, winter songs, hashtag winter songs, you know, songs for the winter. And so I remember one of the ones I did was like kids sledding, and it was Hill is for Children, and it got 3 likes. No one cared. It's like, it's a Venn diagram. It's the people who remember the Pat Benatar song, who are on Twitter, who are looking at that hashtag.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a lot.
It's exactly 3 people is who it is.
Yeah.
I'm so much bigger now, though. Surely it would.
Oh. No. You just got off a plane from a very big event.
I like to think I'm a bigger deal now, but I'm clearly not. Comedy's very humbling, John.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah. You're like, it would have to be.
I've watched
Look at you.
If you're not being humbled, you have a... No, I'm just kidding.
There is something about, like, what I do, and everybody has a little bit of that. You have this with your books. Like, when people go... I remember you said you did a book one time and they wanted a proposal and you said, I got it done in a week, but I held it for like 6 weeks because I didn't want to turn it in and have them be like, this only took a week.
Right.
But here's the thing.
What are we paying you per hour?
Well, there's the old story about the guy who there's a nuclear reactor that's freaking out. And they don't know what button to push, and they call the guy who helped build the reactor, and he's an expert on it.
Uh-huh.
They bring him in. You know, it's been like near core meltdown for a week, and they bring him in, and then he walks in and pushes one button, hits one switch or whatever, and then they cut him a check for $500,000. And they go, $500,000 for hitting one button and pulling one switch? He goes, the $500,000 is for me knowing what one to do. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, that's what they say in the arts is, you're not paying me for the minutes, you're paying me for the years. You know, you're paying me for the years.
I'm going to say that next time.
You're paying me for the years that I have perfected. Well, in theory, perfected. This sounds like I'm really, this is very self-aggrandizing.
Guys, I'm sorry about all this.
I'm saying an artist, let's say it's a painter, not a comedian.
Okay.
Because I think of what I do as a craft, not an art. Okay.
Because like arts and crafts.
Yeah. I think what I do is I take glue and popsicle sticks. No. But you know what I mean? Like, if you're a painter, you go to, you know, maybe you went to school or you learned, you've perfected it. And then you whip up a painting over a weekend for somebody and they're like, that's $12,000. And they're like, what? This took you a week. You're like, It's the years.
I like the idea of this. Next time I pitch something,
yeah,
like, look, whatever I hand you in 5 minutes, it's worth a lot more than you think.
That's,
you know,
right.
What I'm saying?
And you're just like, kinda, sir, this is a napkin you've jotted down your phone number on. Like, no, but seriously.
That'll be $10,000.
Yeah. Your computer.
Man, I don't know what's happening.
Before we started, I told you to shut off your mail program because it dings.
And I turned the volume down.
It's you go, no, I don't. I go, it's still coming to your phone. You don't need to be that wired
in. It's not that. It's not that at all.
You make me so furious.
Often, it makes no noise. All these things happen.
You know what it is? It's the new frames you're wearing right now. They make you look like an idiot. I don't like them.
You don't like them?
They make me not like you.
I don't think I like these.
They look very trendy. They look very like, I've got a songwriter deal.
Well, they're clear.
No, they're fine. I like them.
I don't think these work for my face.
No. I disagree. I'm just being a jerk.
I think the bald head.
They're flesh colored.
Yeah. They're clear frames, uh-huh, and they need a color contrast on top of my head. Like, okay, if I wore a hat with these, see, I don't have hair.
But you have a hat.
I do.
Okay.
I have a couple hats, actually.
I think we've solved the problem. No, I'm just kidding.
But I grabbed these. They were on my bedside table.
I lashed out, and I apologize. The listeners, John and I do this sometimes.
Listen, can we talk through our feelings for a second?
People love when we do that. We always talk about our feelings. It is interesting that our feelings are kind of right under the surface. It's very easy for us to get into our feelings.
Yeah.
Compared to most other men that we know. Don't you think?
Well, I think that, again, it's one of the reasons.
You think it's because we need content and we're just like, well, we better talk about our feelings. I think we've always been that way.
We did that before we ever pushed record.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. I think it might drive my wife crazy sometimes. Yeah. Sorry about that, honey.
We're a bit of overthinkers.
You know what? I like to start with the upsides of things.
Okay, good.
So the upside is I don't have a lot of enemies, and almost everyone in my life, they should know where they stand with me.
Yeah.
Because I don't deal with unexpressed, unresolved feelings very well.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of my growth path. Well, normally we go to lunch first.
Yeah.
And today you got off a plane and we're like, you get on a plane tomorrow.
Yeah,
so
I came straight here.
Guys, this is how much Johnny loves you.
Yeah.
And so,
it's that.
You know, I think we get a lot of those things.
It's not that. It's definitely not that I need attention.
No. It's not that he likes to hear himself. Hey, speaking of attention.
Okay.
You know, we took some new photos.
We did.
Johnny and I had a photo shoot together.
We did.
There's only
so many ways you can take photos as two dudes.
Right.
There's like buddy cop with your backs to each other, arm folded.
And there's like
pointing.
Right.
Stools across from each other.
Uh-huh.
We did one where I was like, jump on my back like a piggyback ride.
No.
We didn't use any of those.
Those will never be seen.
They looked like it was a wedding shoot. Let's just say it.
I wasn't down for it when, but I, you know what? I'm open-minded to the idea of this could be a funny shot.
I wanted something that was like, oh, funny, we're being rowdy. I wanted one of me with you in like a headlock.
Yeah. But you're like, the head's so greasy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But overall, the photos were terrific.
They were great.
And we're happy with how they turned out.
Yeah, our friend Abby took them.
We changed out our new the logo on the podcast.
Well, yeah, that's what I was getting at. Yeah. If you guys haven't seen, you should see on your device right now.
Yeah, in living logo. Color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the colors, too. The color blocks, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We actually had to get... we had to wear makeup. Those aren't color blocks. Actually put on blue makeup, red makeup, green.
An actual green room, not the kind that we normally go to.
It's like a stained glass version of us in a lot of ways, don't you think? Does it look too liturgical?
I don't think you know what liturgical means.
Well, I mean, does it look too old church? Like, it looks like an old Baptist church, maybe?
It doesn't look like going.
If we were like the old saints and we're being commemorated and memorialized.
I would like that idea.
Yeah.
I mean, except you're not supposed to memorialize yourself as a saint.
That's the thing. Like, we stopped memorializing people. Maybe that's for the best. But, like, you see the old saints and Bible stories in stained glass windows. And we just stopped doing that. Do you think there's anybody in modern times that could be, like, in stained glass?
This lets me know.
Without it being weird?
Well, actually, so occasionally on Lectio, they will commemorate.
Yeah.
Like what they did. What did they do the other day? They call it a feast day.
Okay.
I don't know if you've been doing Lectio.
Yeah,
some,
yeah.
Right?
Done some.
With our group. Uh-huh. And so, like, occasionally, it's about once, maybe
every
a month.
Day is a feast day for, yeah.
Those of us who eat a lot.
Yeah.
But it's like a day to stop and they'll tell someone's story. I think it's great. I think it's a part of evangelical culture that we miss out on. We have honor culture sometimes in an almost negative way.
Yeah, like a toxic way.
Yeah, but the idea of looking back, because we're afraid of words like saints, because evangelicalism is a reformation
right
movement. So I think that we threw out baby Jesus with the bathwater on this one, Johnny. You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
Have you actually done a sermon called that?
Throw out baby Jesus with the bathwater?
Yeah, don't throw out baby Jesus with the bathwater.
I think it's great, but it doesn't come off as great as I think to people.
Yeah.
So it just, they go, they're trying to evaluate
They stopped listening at throw out baby Jesus.
Right.
They're like, whoa. And then you go, no, it's a funny colloquialism
right,
that we
I'm
all
putting
know.
These two things together. You're overthinking it. Just let the
I
shock
took
value.
Two things that you're okay with, and I made one horrible thing you don't like.
Right. That's my sermon in a nutshell.
It's like when there was a Simpsons where, I love when there's like imaginary products and Homer goes to the cabinet and he reaches up for a snack and in the can on top of the shelf is nuts and gum. That's the snack he grabs. And then the slogan is, together at last. So that's what your slogan is. It's nuts and gum.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those, I think, for the throwing out baby Jesus notwithstanding as an expression.
Yeah.
I
see what you're saying. Like, we have pivoted the other way away from a toxic honor culture to the point where we're afraid to honor people who are really like serving God. They're doing good things.
Right. Yeah. Well, people in our past that we have forgotten about. So,
although we did get into the thing of like, we've talked about this before about, you know, you had Paterno's statue, you've had these war generals, you had some people that get statues. It usually doesn't go well.
Well, Johnny, you make an image of a person.
Yeah.
A person has limitations. Something's going to happen, probably.
Like, if you go to Staples Center, there's a gigantic statue of Shaquille O'Neal dunking, and there's one of, I think there's one of Kobe now. If there's not, there will be. I think there is. I'm a huge Laker fan. I can't believe I don't know this. But anyway, like, you have the Ring of Honor, and you have these statues around the building. But it's like a sports icon. You kind of know there's a humanity to that guy. You don't think of it. When you put just like a guy in a suit and he's got a statue,
right. It's
like it feels different to me. It's like you're saying, this is a good man who we should honor, you know, just for whatever he did.
Yeah.
And like it's kind of destined for failure. That's how I feel.
Interesting. I think that's worth some continuing conversation.
Oh.
First, Johnny, let's take a moment and hear a word from a few of our sponsors.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
Yeah, like I went straight to commercial break from destined for failure. It's like, good grief, that's heavy.
Like in my,
I apologize, I've been on planes.
No,
I don't know what
you're
I'm
great,
doing.
You're great. In the daily office, we didn't know I was going to have to segue right there. In the daily office today, like they have daily, it's called the commemoration.
Yeah.
And so like today, and I don't always read these, to your point though, but today was a guy named Thomas Traherne, 1636 or 1637 in England, died 1674. And he was an English poet and religious writer, and his style is often considered metaphysical. They actually said this came from Wikipedia today. Their source was Wikipedia, which I thought was interesting. That's rare. Mm. But they just go through, like, in his lifetime, he published one thing.
Yeah.
And people, they found manuscripts and other things after the fact, and they've kind of added him now, not just as a poet, but as a theologian, because of the depth of things that he's written and new manuscripts they keep finding in libraries and stuff. And I thought it was just a really interesting... It's a day, and what I like about it is after you do this, because what's the point of this? Is it just to elevate a person? And that's where the evangelical mind goes, like, no, you know. And I agree, I don't want to elevate, you know, humans to a place, because like to your point about the statues, I mean, they can't stand, and the gospel is built upon the idea that no human can stand except Jesus, who became human, and it stood for us, right? So that's the idea. But there's always a prayer at the end. And like this one says, Creator of wonder and majesty, you inspired your poet, Thomas Traherne, with mystical insight to see your glory in the natural world, in the faces of men and women around us. Help us to know you in your creation and in our neighbors, and to understand our obligations to both. that we may ever grow into the people you have created us to be through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God in everlasting light. Amen. Like, I like that because what it says is I take, and even Paul said, pay attention to those who set this example. And he would say, imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Right, right.
So there's like, there is an elevation of, you know, find one another. He even says, outdo one another in showing honor. That's one translation. So,
yeah, there was a book written about Rich Mullins, and it was called An Arrow Pointing Toward Heaven.
Yeah.
And it comes from a story of something about when they were in some desert somewhere, and I can't remember if Rich was standing away from the truck, and the other guy said, you look like this arrow in the shadow. You look like an arrow pointing towards heaven. And Rich liked the idea of that so much, you know, just as a metaphor for life. And so that's what his biography was called after his death. This guy wrote this book, and it was called Arrow Point. And I think that's kind of, that should be the idea, you know?
Well, I think about, this is going to be morbid, you know, so one of our best friends in the world is Andrew Wharton, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's my boss, our lead pastor. We've been ministering together for almost 20 years now. And I always, this is just a sixist way of thinking, like, I always think ahead because I've done so many funerals and things.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Andrew came through my head the other day because I like to honor people and I like to think of what they would want. And he was one of those people in my life. I had this thought that if I got up and just gushed about him, he would hate it.
Yeah.
So much. I mean, you don't want someone to not say nice things about you.
Right.
But at this point in his life, what he would really want is someone to hear about what Jesus did for him, especially, you know, although, you know, we believe in thirds here. I think we may even move to fourths as you get older. But as he's in just that second, maybe the last half of his second third of life. There you go, Andrew, because you listen.
Half of the second.
But, you know, like, at this stage.
It feels like you're trying really hard not to say Andrew's old.
If only I had an interpreter. Wait, I do. And so, like, this like, idea of, I love that there are men and women in my life who I know that, hey, what the story that they would want told, and it would have sounded so pseudo-spiritual to me before.
Yeah.
You know, because deep down inside we all want, and we do. But when you find someone, I think like Rich Mullins too, who legitimately, they're at the place where, no, my literally elevating me would not be worth your time. Like, not that that's what you're supposed to say or supposed to think, or not that they have disciplined themselves to think that, but that other thing has actually died.
Yeah.
Like, already, there is no need for my reputation. This would be foolish for you. That's something I would love to be true of me in life. Like, I want it to not just be, I've disciplined myself into humility. Like, I would like to actually be humble and not, you know, have to be trying to just get there all the time. So, Johnny, I'm not there. I'm pretty prideful. So,
yeah, let's go over it.
Let's talk about it. So you like the new logo, though?
Yeah, I like it a lot. We're on the way, man. Downloads are up. Uploads are down. Wait, that's not. That should be.
If you guys are uploading things, we're in trouble.
Yeah, I don't upload things, please. I don't know how you would, but
we don't know. We don't have room to host all that.
We do get comments on which you can go to our website, talkaboutthatpodcast.com, and you can leave a comment on episodes and send us an email and stuff. And people comment on the individual episodes, and a lot of those are in Russian.
Yeah, we get
that.
Well,
they're bots.
Those are like our WordPress site comments.
Yeah.
Those aren't the ones.
I just get a lot of like, please moderate. And I go on and it is words I can't understand.
They never get approved. Because you're not supposed to leave comments about site.
Maybe we have a big Russian following. I don't want to assume that it's a bot just because it's Russian language. But I just don't know that we could be.
We could go look. I can see what.
See what it translates to?
No, I can go see where our downloads come from, what continents and countries and stuff.
Yeah, what it's like, ask John about the Enneagram, what he thinks about it. And it's like all in Russian, but these bots are everywhere. And they're like literally asking, I can't get my comment read. What's going on?
I would like to apologize to our Russian viewers, listeners, and viewers. We have YouTube.
Yeah.
What if they're trying to get through to us? Use a Google Translate and send it.
Yeah, let's figure it out.
Yeah.
Come on, Russians. I don't know. I don't want to assume the worst just because I feel like that would be, what is that? Jingoism. It's xenophobia.
It's a trope.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, but you know what?
We talked about last week. Get off my plane. So I don't want to say get off our plane.
You know what? My heart does go out to the Russian people right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you something.
Yeah.
All the stuff happening in Ukraine. And I think it's good for Americans to remember that Putin is not Russian people.
Yeah, of course not.
You know what I'm saying?
And there's, well, it just kind of shows you, too, like, what happens if you get a leader that's unhinged like that.
Yeah.
And he just is going to use you as cannon fodder.
Well, and there's so many elements
because of his own ego,
the Russian military and people who are trying to find ways to resist or, you know,
right.
And it's a brutal situation.
Yeah, it really is. Yikes.
I mean, even as Ukraine strikes back into Russia now,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there's civilians there and it's, there's nothing good. There is a documentary.
Okay.
I think it might be Masterpiece, but it's on Prime Video.
Yeah.
I think it's in our documentary subscription, but it's called My Grandparents' War.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like four big British actors.
Yeah.
And they're tracing now their actual grandparents' activity in the war.
Okay.
Generally in Britain, obviously. And it is just like the and I don't remember her name. You would know. She was the female in The English Patient, I think.
Helena Bonham Carter?
Yes.
I don't know.
I think.
I'm just guessing.
I think Carter.
Was there Helena Bonham Carter. Wasn't her?
There's no way to know.
Juliette Binoche. I'm just throwing out names.
Hold on.
Everybody, Helen Mirren.
This is going
Dame.
To be...
okay.
My Grandparents' War TV series. It's actually PBS.
John's just going to type away here.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. This is worth it. This is worth it because I think you want to. Here's the Wikipedia.
Do people follow our recommendations?
So Helena Bonham Carter was episode one.
See?
Last night was.
I was just grasping at straws. I've never even seen The English Patient. That's just in my.
I don't think she's from English Patient, though. She was.
Well,
no.
You said English Patient.
Yeah, but you said the wrong.
You're saying that guess was right.
Happened to be the right person on the show, but the wrong. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know how you did it.
I don't know.
But no, she. I think she was in The Crown. I think she.
Okay.
Played Princess Margaret, maybe in The Crown.
All right.
But no, this is Kristen Scott Thomas.
Okay. So a three-namer.
Yeah.
Still. But
yeah.
Different three-namer.
Anyway, her grandfather was a captain of a naval destroyer.
Okay.
And he was just this kindest man. And you know, she has all these memories. And so they're learning. And these historians and stuff come around and they visit these sites. And they even visit soldiers in their 90s or even 100s who were... Or soldiers who were with them. And like he was on, this is what Russia made me think of this.
Mm-hmm.
It was called the Russian Arctic something fleet. And so their job was to get, because Russia was our ally, to get supplies.
Uh-huh.
And so they would go up in the Baltic Sea. And it was like at one point they read that the spray was coming up and it was so cold. And the ships were open, on top, on part of these, and the captain was encased in 2 inches of ice.
Good.
And they had to like lower him down, and like chip the ice off of him.
And he lived,
yes. But they spent months. He made 8 of these voyages, and there's submarines everywhere, aircraft, Nazi submarines and Nazi aircraft everywhere because they're trying to stop you. And like if you're an oil tanker, His job was the destroyer was to guard the oil tanker because they said they didn't even put life jackets or lifeboats on the oil tanker ships because what's the point?
Right.
Like, you're dead.
If you get hit.
If you get hit, it's over. Like, they literally didn't put life jackets on there. And so just hearing these stories is just a fascinating, like, that history and understanding now that Russia was our friend at that moment.
You watch a lot smarter stuff than I do. I saw Equalizer 3. Is that the Denzel? Do you watch those?
I've not watched
You've never seen any of those?
No.
So he's like this...
Yeah.
You know,
I used to watch the old Equalizer with my dad.
No, that's a different thing. It's
a
different...
old British white guy.
No, this is Denzel.
And then there's a show Equalizer with...
So he... Well, that's based on the show. Right? Yeah, that's based on the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is all based on the movies.
I don't think so. Anyway... He has he's like one of those guys that's like, you're already dead, you're already dead, you're already dead. And then he'll set his watch, and then like in 9 seconds, he knows exactly what movies. He's a CIA-trained John Wick character.
Yeah.
This is part 3, though, and he's in this village in Italy to do some, you know, he's going to take out these ne'er-do-wells. And he stumbles onto this mob that's running the town in this little seaport village in Italy. Okay.
Mm.
And then he decides to stay because he can't really get out right away because, you know, it's too hot. He's just killed this leader of a terrorist cell or something. And so he decides to just stay.
I like your lingo, by the way. It was just, too hot.
He was just staying and have, like, some tea in the market. And then, like, he notices all this mob is running the whole town. And he starts encouraging the people, why not stand up for yourself? And then slowly he takes out this entire mob ran village and has the people stand up. For, I was like, this is good. And also, it's kind of like John Wick meets Three Amigos.
I was about to say, this is the plot of Three Amigos.
It's Santa Poco. He took out El Guapo. I was like, this. How is somebody not seeing that this
for
is like
people,
a very serious
version? Illiteracy is El Guapo. Yeah, yeah. For others?
Yeah. Yeah, an Italian mobster is our El Guapo.
In our case, our El Guapo is the actual El Guapo.
A big, angry Mexican guy that wants to kill us.
Yeah.
Anyway.
If you haven't seen Three Amigos, guys, what a classic.
Sorry, oh, you can't miss it. It's very good. Equalizer, the whole thing. And it was like, I chuckled a few times because I was like, this is Three Amigos.
He didn't have them so, did he? So, well, so, sisters, so like the wind.
There is a moment where they have the guy, they have Denzel's character dead to rights in the city square, and the guy's got a gun pointed at him, and then somebody else points a gun at him to stop him. And I was like, why would they defend this? They don't know Denzel's character. It was just a lot of cultural, like, this would never happen. But they're all suddenly, like, realizing, like, we've got to stand up for ourselves. So that was, like, their moment where they all stitched their Amigos outfits and realized their value in the...
You just gave the whole movie away.
Yeah.
And I know I'm not going to watch it.
Well, you got to see 1 and 2 or you'd be totally lost. No, you don't.
Yeah, I was going to say, those probably stand pretty independent.
Yeah, they stand independent.
I watched Man on Fire.
Yeah.
Which, it's dark.
Yeah, it's very dark and violent. These are dark and violent, too.
Yeah.
They're very, like, cartoonic, just crazy. I don't know what it is about that, like, too, where I bet there's, like, a parent of a 13-year-old, you know, Christian family, and they're like, what are you going to go see? Equalizer? Okay, there's no nudity, though, right? Like, these movies where they just 200 people just get killed,
right?
You know, randomly
just blowing people up.
Yeah. And I don't know what that. It's interesting the things that we are okay with.
No, even pastors tell me that before. Like, yeah, we don't do certain curse words in movies, and we don't do nudity or sex. You know, I'll be like, well, what about violence? Oh, we're great with violence, laugh about it. Like, no, violence is fine.
Yeah,
we're like, well,
I used to think about that with, like, I couldn't watch The Smurfs because it had magic in it,
right?
And Gargamel was a
Turmoil
sorcerer.
Turmoil in the Toy Box was the name of that book.
But I had, oh wow, but I could watch Looney Tunes where anvils get dropped on people,
right?
You know, people because fall off cliffs
no magic
to their
there.
Certain death.
Yeah, and sure, a roadrunner could outrun that, and a coyote could push an anvil off a cliff. You think he could do that without magic? I don't think so.
That Acme company makes faulty I mean, I'm saying there's a class action suit somewhere.
Yeah.
Those products aren't good.
No, I mean,
somebody needs to do something.
Even if you wanted them to destroy the Roadrunner or the coyote, they never did. Like, he just blew up and he was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I went to I guess you'd call it a cowboy church. Have you ever, you know, there's churches that are like cowboy churches. There's biker churches, and there's kind of churches that are very country, and they're built that way draw a certain kind of person.
On the way to Sadie's school, we passed a church called the Barn Church.
Right. So this church was called Church in the Country, and it was in Jasper, Texas. I was there Saturday and did a volunteer appreciation dinner for, you know, some of their volunteer staff. And it was really, really great. And it's very, you know, rough hewn inside and wood, and they had deer head and elk head all over the walls. And then a sign hanging from antlers that said, "We're so glad you're here."
Okay.
I was like, why would this sign not say, we hold our members so dear? Why would you not take advantage? You're going to hang a sign from antlers and you can't make a deer pun?
Yeah.
You're blowing this.
Yeah.
They didn't laugh. And I should have left then. No, they did. They laughed. I heard guns cocking. When I said it, I knew. No. They were very sweet. But I think it's interesting, like, that, you know, as much as we talk about denominationalism and kind of the inherent, you know, problems with it, the idea that we're going to have thousands of different denominations, we're going to be all this hair splitting that we do. I do think it's interesting, and I'm okay with, like, certain areas of the country where they go, well, the people that we're trying to reach are a certain kind of person, and we're going to make our church try to reach these people.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of cool. Like,
it
I've
is.
Done shows in biker churches, and, the, you know, it's an interesting, those are fun, so fun. The
I was contemplating that this today, actually, because my wife and I, she saw a video last night, and I'm not going to say who it was. It was a pastor that I know somewhat, mm-hmm. and a pretty big church now. It's not Mike Burnett, by the way, because I just described a friend that we've had on the podcast before. But you're not going to guess it, Johnny. You're not going to guess it.
Oh, I won't try.
So, but like he had shaved the sides of his head, and he's probably a little older than me, maybe about the same age. He'd shaved
like
the
just
sides
for fun
into like this really what I would consider to be horrendous mullet on top of his head.
Oh, how do you shave your hair into a mullet?
Yeah. It was like shaved on the sides and then down the back, and it was like And my wife was like, what did you do to your head?
Yeah.
You know, like, I suppose...
No, people do it. It's the Patrick Mahomes. People want the Mahomes.
It's the Mahomes. But yeah. I don't know.
But he could not throw a football 70 yards.
Well, I don't think so. And I don't know. It was like, I don't think I could, if I had hair, I don't know.
Sounds like you're jealous of this person's confidence.
I'm really not.
You're like, why are you taking these big risks when I'm terrified of my own shadow?
It's not even that. It's that I'm contemplating seeker-sensitive stuff.
Oh, I see.
I'm contemplating, like, and maybe the guy just likes that haircut.
Okay.
And that's okay with me.
Yeah.
I don't like those haircuts. I'm just not.
Yeah.
I'm that guy. I'm just not going to be that guy, probably.
Man, you're just an old grizzled curmudgeon.
I see the boys at the football game. We'll go to Friday night football games, high school, and they're just the mullets and stuff. I'm just like, guys, I cannot get on board for this.
They're doing it to make you mad. That's the point.
You think so?
That's the point.
Would they do that to impress each other?
Yeah, but I'm saying like the idea that old people look at them and go, ugh, that's part of the thrill.
But I'm not against them. I just don't like their haircut.
Yeah.
Now, I'm actually really for them, and they would enjoy if they would allow me, Johnny.
You want to give them all crew cuts? I don't understand what you want to do to these people.
You could have that haircut. I won't think any different of you as a person.
Yeah.
I'm just not, down for the cut, Johnny. Not down for that, you know.
Man.
Guys, I'm sorry. If you have a mullet...
Out there with your rock and roll music.
You're playing it loud and drought around. You're loud.
Doing donuts in the parking lot.
I would love to eat some donuts in the parking lot. That's what I do when I do donuts in the parking lot.
Okay, so after the Cowboy Church, which was so fun, I did a show in Slidell, Louisiana, which is north of New Orleans. So we got to have real beignets at Café Du Mont.
Ooh, I've had them in there.
And let me tell you something. That is like... That's a hug from the Lord.
We just found out Sadie has a tournament in New Orleans.
Yeah, you got to go.
We're going to take an extra
Café Du Mont. Oh, you got it. Pastries and the crawfish and the seafood. And
probably one of my favorite restaurants of all time.
Yeah.
Is there.
What is it?
Court of the Two Sisters.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's been there since, I think, early 1800s.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah. And there's like a Sunday jazz brunch.
We didn't go down to the French Quarter because it was late at night, and they were like, don't go there past this time. It's just not, you're going to, you know, you have a rental car. Don't do this. I go, okay. So we went to like Copeland's, which is a New Orleans chain.
It's a chain restaurant.
They're only there now. They used to be
one in Knoxville.
Yeah. But now they're just, they really
close.
And
we love Copeland's.
Yeah, it's very good. And it was open late because my show had ended. But the point I was getting at was
Copeland's late. Sorry.
Copeland's late. I leave the stage. I come out and I'm greeting people. And there are people who've driven from long ways away, which is really fun now. People are coming to my show from far away. And this lady, I drove from Hattiesburg, Mississippi to be here. And I was like, oh, man. I thought, how far away? She goes, it's 45 minutes. I go, that's not that big of a deal. But it was sweet. And she was the sweetest lady. And I said, okay. And I always say, like, when somebody's leaving, I always go, all right, well, be safe going home. Swerve safely. I always say swerve safely. And then she leaves. And then we're leaving to go try to get to Copeland's before they close. And I see somebody pulled over in the parking lot. No. They're pulled over. And I'm like, ugh. And then even the pastor texts me. He goes, is that you pulled over already for speeding in our parking lot? You know, you didn't even get out and get to your restaurant. I go, that wasn't me. And then I get a comment on the poster from the night where I'd posted before the show. Somebody had commented, it was so great meeting you. I got into an accident leaving your show. And it was that lady. So she was like leaving the parking lot to get back to Hattiesburg. And I don't know if it was just her by herself or if it was her husband driving, but they got into a fender bender in a parking lot, which you know from me, because I used to get into some wrecks in parking lots. I've been in several.
Yeah.
I used to be a little bit of more of a reckless driver. I was always in a hurry and I was always late. Now I'm way more chill, but I've been in several wrecks in parking lots. I've been hit by somebody in a parking lot and I've hit someone in a parking lot. I hit a police car in a parking lot one time. And it saved me because it's a private matter. Like, literally, like, it's like a neutral site football game. You can't declare fault in a parking lot.
Yeah.
You just settle it.
It's just like...
It's the weirdest thing. And so that's
just Hatfield McCoy out there.
Yeah, so that's what this lady was up against. She was like, my car was dinged up even worse than this other person's, and I just kind of shimmied home. And then I messaged her. I said, let me know if you need a ride. I was like, I felt bad. Wow. You know? And these shows are so full now, John. It's a traffic jam. Get out of my shows. You know what I'm saying? People are anxious to get home. No, I don't know what happened, but I feel bad for... Anyway, Kathy, if you're listening, I hope you made it. I hope you got a good estimate on the car. And
you spoke that into existence.
I said swerve safely, and she didn't swerve safely. She should have...
See...
She didn't heed my warning. So it happened to me. Okay, same trip. I'm in Houston. Houston. So we land to go to Jasper. And we're going to drive up to Jasper. And I've got these crazy bags, okay? I buy crazy suitcases. I have a lemon yellow suitcase and one that's like two-tone blue that's so funky it looks like it's tie-dyed, okay? Right. They're hideous. And the reason I do it is so nobody grabs my bag.
Yeah.
You know, because you get these all-black bags that come across. Somebody grabs your bag, and before you know it, they're off to their place.
They're doing comedy with your merch.
Exactly. So my bags come off right away. I'm like, boom, we're on our way. I said, I can't believe it. We get in the rental car, and I'm putting the things in the rental car, and we have four bags. So I have a bunch of merch in my brother's mind, and we're with me in his clothing bags, too. So we have four. Boom, one, two, three. And I notice one of the bags has late arrival tag on it. I'm like, we're not late. Why would we checked in an hour and a half early. Mm. I have grabbed a lemon yellow bag.
No.
That is not my bag.
You did it.
I did it. And they, but to her point, they had made the announcement like they always do, make sure you check the bags. I'm like, what kind of loser doesn't check the... And I grab this bag, and I have to come back to the airport in the rental car and like wait.
Yeah,
and
you got to go through...
Yeah, and you hope they can reach that person, and that person's grabbed my bag.
Right.
And they're thinking like, I've got the lemon bag, and nobody's going to... And they call me, they go, hey, is this so-and-so? And the person goes, yeah. They go, we think you have the wrong bag. You need to come back. And they go, no, I got my bag. And then they look down and they go, I've got your bag. So they come back. It was like another 45 minutes delay because I was an idiot. But it's interesting that they couldn't be mad because they did the same thing. Like, luckily, they hadn't like left my bag there.
Guys, so come on, man.
Want that
right here.
We've all... We've all grabbed the wrong suitcase.
It's like pulling up to a four-way stop. Someone doesn't signal, and you're like, oh my gosh, use your blinker. Yeah. And you turn and realize that you didn't use your blinker while you're yelling at the other person.
So you need to get the suitcase out of your own eye before, and then you'll see clearly.
To get the blinker out of your neighbor's.
If you've never had a suitcase caught in your eye.
Let me tell you.
It is one of the more painful things
can experience.
It's
worse than a log.
It is.
Yeah.
It's what killed Dad, honestly. You gotta... These suitcases to the eye. They'll hurt you.
Oh, won't they though?
Anyway, please check the bag tags out there, guys.
This is a public service announcement.
Even if you've got a crazy bag and you think there's no way...
Guys, we're begging you.
When they rolled back in, the lady goes, she goes, now, is the other bag, what does it look like? I go, it looks exactly. She goes, so it's yellow? I go, when I tell you, when it rolls in, you'll see. And sure enough, it's a Rockport bag. It's the exact brand.
Oh, my gosh.
It was, and he rolls in, and he's just like, and we kind of nod and just slowly exchange. And she had to sign off on it. You know, we couldn't just like because I couldn't just like meet up with him with his bag. That's illegal. Once you know you've got the wrong bag, the authorities have to come into play now. It's an international incident. Yeah. You can't. You can't just be like, look, I've got his bag. I'm going to call him.
I don't know.
Give me his number.
Have his number on your bag.
No, I just had his name.
Oh.
So they were able to like look it up in the system. Wow. But luckily he answered his phone. Because if you get a random number, sometimes you don't answer the phone.
Mostly I don't answer the phone.
Johnny,
I don't answer the phone when I see whose number it is.
You don't even know whose bag you have.
Johnny, there's no telling.
Anyway, just pay attention out there. John, it's time that we get into as we close the show, with our favorite segment. It's where we go back in history. We've already been back in history a bit and talked about World War II. But let's go over World War I. Let's go all the way back.
Those two.
Let's talk about then. This day, this week in history, John, the Warren Commission. I always want to call it Warren Commission. The Warren Commission report was made public. And I know we have our friend, Allie Holland, who does her Kennedy Dynasty podcast. She knows all about
her
this.
Her ears perked up.
They perked up when I said warrant.
She was like, permission.
There were warrants issued, maybe? No. It concluded, famously, that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone in the assassination of U.S. President John F. Kennedy. It also concluded that Jack Ruby also acted alone, conveniently, when he killed Oswald 2 days later. So some people dispute the Warren Commission, but it's, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it went on, the Warren Commission, how long it took them to come to these conclusions. But some people, you know, conspiracy theorists, this is one of the main conspiracy, you know, hotbeds in our culture. Still, well, to this day.
Well, I mean, and I'll say this. It had a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's a traumatic, huge traumatic wound in the country. So it's going to lead to, like, how could this have happened? Were there, like, for it to happen, were there fail safes that weren't in place on purpose? Were there holes that were, you know? So I get it. But anyway, so that was the Warren Commission was made public. And yeah. Dude, what do you believe?
Well, let's get into it.
Yeah, let's get into it. You trust this Warren Commission, John?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think there's a lot of classified information that they still refuse to, that they're supposed to release, you know, 50 years after the fact and all those things. And they keep pushing some of it back.
Yeah.
And that makes me, that's not conspiracy
thinking. What are they trying to?
Like, if you, there must be something there that you don't want us to know.
Interesting. I wonder what Allie believes. Do you know? Have you talked to her about it?
Yeah, I think.
Is she a lone gunman person?
Yes. I think she is.
But wonders if, like, Oswald was on the take from some other.
I just think that. I just think that there's, I don't know.
Are you afraid to say?
Johnny,
John,
I can't say here. This is classified.
These glasses have changed you.
Yeah.
The Tonight Show, the first network.
And by the way, Allie, if you're not a lone gunman and I messed up on that and you're like.
She's not a lone gunman. She might be a lone gunman theorist.
You know what I mean? Allie, if I messed up your theory.
Man.
Like, forgive me.
We don't know where she.
I've listened to your podcast.
We need to have her back. We need to have her on and just talk about that.
But she's going
to
be like, you've listened. But she doesn't get into the assassination.
Oh, she doesn't want to get.
Yeah,
interesting.
She spends more time in the culture.
Right, the Camelot.
The background. Yeah. You know, all those things. So.
Right.
She does talk about it, but she doesn't get into conspiracy theories. That's one thing she doesn't
do. She weaves it very nicely.
And
she stays pretty apolitical. And,
yeah.
Okay, John, the Tonight Show, which was the first network late night talk show, debuted on NBC this week, 1954, with host Steve Allen. It would eventually become known as the Tonight Show. And it was called Tonight back then, so it was later called the Tonight Show. The show originated such talk show staples as an opening monologue, which, you know, everybody does. It's kind of like the format now. Celebrity interviews, audience participation, and comedy bits in which cameras were taken outside the studio, like a man on the street kind of a thing, as well as music. The announcer of the show was Gene Rayburn, who would eventually become a top game show MC in The Match Game and some other shows. And the band leader was Skitch Henderson, which, if your name is Skitch Henderson and you're not a band leader,
wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're either, Skitch Henderson's either a band leader or he's like the quarterback for Wichita State.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's how.
Or he's the guy in prison that knows how to get things for you.
Yeah. Skitch.
Yeah, go ask Skitch. He'll get you the.
Yeah. He can get you a toothbrush in the shape of a shiv.
Whatever.
I don't know. He can fashion something, get you out of here. Over the years, do you remember the hosts of The Tonight Show? Like, who do you know hosted The Tonight Show?
Oh, dear.
How far? Because I have, you know, I'm the trivia brain, so I remember most of these.
Go ahead. You do it.
So you had Steve Allen, Jack Parr.
Uh-huh.
And then you had Johnny Carson,
yeah.
Jay Leno, Conan O'Brien for a short time, Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, Johnny Carson's is about as far back as my brain goes.
You don't remember Jack Parr, that Carson took over from Jack Parr?
Yeah.
Johnny Carson took over in 62, so it was before we were born, but I've just seen the old clips, and I know a little bit about the history of the show.
You're a comedian. No, it's fine. You should do stuff.
The first Santa Claus training school opened in New York. Albion, New York, the Charles W. Howard Santa Claus School, 1937. It was created by Charles Howard, who was a department store Santa, and he was dismayed at the poor quality of other department store Santas.
Wow.
So he was like, something's got to be done. These other Santas are hacks, frankly. The school would later offer a Bachelor of Santa Claus degree.
Wow.
A BSc, and which is more than I have. I don't even have that. I didn't even... And it's the oldest continually operated Santa Claus school in the world.
I bet.
I think it's still in operation. Is that what they're saying? Howard was the featured Santa Claus in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade from 48 to 65.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, so this guy was...
You're almost the real Santa.
His credential. Yeah. His credentials were there. Yeah. This department store, this photo of a department store Santa staring at children is the creepiest Santa Claus photo I've ever seen.
Oh.
His eyes are almost red. So he's got a lot to learn. If this is him.
Wow. They kept him around.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a bad picture.
And some kid, do you ever, was Sadie ever afraid of things like Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or anything? Like when you would take her to like see the mascot or like now you see it with Bucky's, like Bucky runs around inside Bucky's in the suit. Some kids are like, Bucky. And then some kids are like,
no,
get that creepy rodent away from me.
I'm trying to think if she cried one time in an Easter Bunny at the park.
Yeah.
But she was okay with Santa usually. We'd take her to the mall.
Yeah.
For a Santa picture.
You have to sit there and be like, now listen, you're going to see a man.
He's going to. Yeah.
But it's okay because presents.
Try to smile.
Get through this. Yeah.
Right.
John, the first 3D movie, The Power of Love is what it was called. It premiered this week. Do you want to guess the year?
I don't know why I want to get this so right.
Yeah, I know.
It shouldn't matter.
You should.
1982.
22.
No.
1922. The viewer wore special glasses with one red and one green lens.
I want to say 82. They had 3D in the 50s. You're right. I'm sorry. Yeah,
it also allowed the viewer to choose either a happy or tragic ending depending on which lens of the glasses they looked through. And I don't know how they did that. What? I like the idea of different endings in movies. Do you remember the last major release to do this as far as like choosing an ending? Not choosing an ending, but literally releasing different endings to a movie. It was the movie Clue in the 80s.
Okay.
So if you remember the movie Clue with, you know, Tim Curry, and it's an all-star cast based on the board game. So I didn't know this until I was probably in my 20s. But when they released that movie, there were four different versions of the ending of it as far as like who killed Mr. Body, which the body was the dinner party, and Mr. Body's the guy who gets killed. And it's like, who did it? Was it Professor Plum with the pipe in the library?
Right.
So depending on which version you saw at your theater in your local city, you would walk away thinking like, I know who did it. But somebody in, you know, Tulsa, Oklahoma, they saw a different killer.
Wow.
And then once they released on VHS and then later DVD, they had all four endings.
Wow.
But if you went and just saw it in the theater, you saw a specific ending, which I think is so great. I wish more movies did that.
Interesting.
I like it because then it makes you go back. And I guess word got out and people were like, we got to go see it again. Let's go across town. Maybe.
That's the brilliance.
You see
of
a different.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. John, Dan Quayle this week, 1990. Whenever Dan Quayle's on this list, it's almost always because of some, you know, gaffe, which we have now from daily from our politicians.
I read a Dan Quayle quote this morning, by the way. That came.
This may be the same one because it says, he states in a speech.
Hold on, let me say it.
What is it?
He said, I got this. I love California.
Oh, no.
I practically grew up in Phoenix.
No.
That was the one I read this morning.
No. This one was, and the thing about Dan Quayle, he was young. Like, we're worried now about these politicians being older,
right,
and they're kind of sundowning, and we're worried about their mental capacity. Should we be electing? Should there be limited? Dan Quayle was like in his 40s when he was saying these things. There was really no excuse for this kind of activity. This is from September 27th, 1990. He states, we are ready for any unforeseen event that may or may not occur. It's like Michael Scott. You know what I'm saying?
That's great.
It's like how the turntables. Okay. Finally, John, Harry Blackstone, American magician, was born this week, 1885. Lived to 1965. He was famous for his Hindu rope trick and woman in the cabinet illusions. Now, John, people have strong opinions about certain kinds of performers. Like, some people don't like mime. Some people don't like a magic act. They go, here we go, it's a magic act tonight. Have you ever seen a magic act that you were like, that was unbelievable?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I like,
yeah,
if it's done well, especially if there's good patter
between
the tricks and the person's very confident, I'm just totally, I love it. And I love being amazed. I do not want to know how they do it.
No.
I'm not one of those people who's like, it's a mirror. I don't want to do that.
Right.
Stop it.
Like, if it's a mirror, I'm amazed at how you used it.
Yes. You still had to, hold the ball in your hand and you made it look like the ball just appeared. Anything simple like that, even sleight of hand, is really cool to me.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he is cutting a woman in half. We can't know.
We can't know. There's
no way.
We can't
know. If he is, though, that's murder?
Well, but she's still alive.
That's true.
John, if you cut someone in half and they survive, it's not murder. No, it's something.
Won't that?
Come on.
You've made two women now. That's how you. Anyway, happy birthday, Harry Blackstone.
Yeah.
I like a good match. There's something about, and here's the thing too, Nate Bargatze's dad, Steven, he's one of those guys that's like a comedy magic. So the tricks don't work, but then they do work in an amazing, you know, he kind of tricks you into thinking the trick is failing.
Right.
So it's a fun thing. You're rooting for him.
Yeah.
You know, like he pretends that he can't get out of the straitjacket, you know, and then he has an audience member come up and help him, and it's so awkward. You know, reach between my leg and grab that strap. Careful. You know, it's all of that awkwardness that you do with an right. interaction. It's so fun. And like, I just think when that's done well, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the vaudeville. I long for that old days of like where you had like a magic act and a bird guy, and then a guy would come out with a snake, and then somebody's going to juggle, and then somebody's going to do comedy for 15 minutes.
Right.
I just think that's cool. Then somebody's going to catch a bullet in their teeth.
Ugh.
And you're like, that wasn't part of the show.
Right. That was
somebody got in and shot a man.
And a man caught it with his teeth.
Yeah. I don't know. That's fake.
Because that's our show.
You ever see that? That's not real.
No.
I don't think. Don't try that.
No.
Kids.
No kids. If you check, have kids
check,
to listen to
check
the show.
Check the luggage tags.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
And don't shoot people in the teeth.
Don't. And we don't endorse violence in movies.
No.
Even though Johnny watches it.
So I was entertained by it. That's entertaining to me.
You went and I will say, I don't know. I think that the one thing about evangelical sort of guardrails that's interesting, when I became a parent, was like if there was a bad word used or something, mm-hmm. there was an assumption in our day that if we heard that bad word, we were immediately going to go use it.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like we would have no control. So instead of dealing with the self-control, so when Sadie would hear, now I'm like, she's in a world, like I'll be like, hey, she'll hear a word. When she was little, she'd look at me. I go, hey, are we gonna turn it off? And I'd be like, are you going to say that word? She's like, no. I was like, okay. I mean,
yeah.
You start saying the word,
and
we'll
then
turn
she's
it
like,
off.
Dad, you just said it. We weren't watching a show. You said it while cooking bacon, the grease hit you and you screamed.
Are you going to say it? That's great.
Answer me. She's like, put on a shirt, Dad. Good grief.
I've been.
Why are you cooking bacon
without a shirt? Without a shirt, Johnny. Who can know why?
Guys, that's the image I want to leave the show. I want to end the show with that image. That needs to be the cover art.
Oh, that's
not
great.
What you've made.
No.
With the weird stained glass. I want a cartoonic version of John. Maybe shave chest? Let's go full on.
Here's the thing. If there was an actual picture, it would look cartoonic.
No.
I was listening to your thing the other day about, because you had some clip go out about shaving your chest. It's supposed to make you're like.
Right. It makes the muscles pop and the shadows.
But you said.
Oh, say I look like a fat toddler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got the doughy.
Nothing's popping.
No. Do you know what is popping, Johnny?
What's that, John?
This website.
It is. Talkaboutthatpodcast.com. Over 280 episodes for you to binge watch, listen, whatever you want to do. Our YouTube channel is out there for you to subscribe to. Please subscribe to that. Hit that notification button. That way you'll know about new episodes whenever they come out. Leave a review. That helps people find the show.
We often read reviews on the show.
We do read reviews on the show. And you can send us a little message. If you go to the website, talkaboutthatpodcast.com, there's a little place where you can leave us a message. In Russian or not.
Whatever.
We don't mind.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do.
Translate it first for us.
There's a link at the top right where you can even support the show if you like and get ad-free content. We love our patrons.
Yeah.
Thank you for patronizing us.
It means so much.
Thank you for your patronage.
Hey, check out Johnny W, JONNIEW.com. You can check out his upcoming tour dates. Follow him on socials. The guy's everywhere, people.
Go to johndriver.com to find out John's new published works and all the wonderful books that he's written in the past. Award-winning books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like to brag, but that's true.
I did it, so you didn't. You're just confirming.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. I made up the award.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
He wanted a statue, but we were like, Nate, let's hold off.
Yeah. Statue didn't work out well, so. But hey, guys, it did work out well today, though, and it's going to work out well again next week on
Talk About That.
Hey friend, I'm Brooke McLaughlin, host of the Everyday Prayers podcast, a ministry of Million Praying Moms, and I'm here to invite you to partner with God for the hearts of your children on the daily. Our goal at Everyday Prayers is to help moms understand and pray God's word. Join us each weekday as we share insights from God's word for today's Christian mom. Tune in to the Everyday Prayers podcast in your favorite app or by visiting lifeaudio.com.